Hello, I'm Rebecca Horan and welcome to A Little Birdie Told Me, a podcast brought to you by rollercoaster.ie. In season four, I'm going to be talking to a range of well-known Irish faces about being in the trenches when it comes to parenting. Well, it is the final episode of season four of A Little Birdie Told Me, and I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Audrey Hamilton. She's an Irish artist, a designer, a fashion lover, and a mum of one.
Yeah,
we're already laughing in the studio right now. Mostly you start off and this is absolute deathly silent where the people are either shitting themselves or they're like, who's this woman?
Oh God, should I be shitting myself?
We're already laughing because the minute Audrey, and I'll introduce her properly in a sec, came into the office, I went, they're sexual trousers.
Sexy.
And it sounded weird. I offered her some nappies on the cheap and she's delighted.
I'll take them for me or the baby.
Irish, Ireland's top pop artist and designer and just all around good gal. I follow her with interest, have done for a while, wanted her on season three, probably to a business. Can't remember what happened, and I have her for season four, and I'm just so excited. So, Audrey Hamilton, welcome to A Little Birdie Told Me.
Yay, so many cameras.
Yes, don't worry, they're just for effect.
I'm not camera shy.
Yeah, no, they're just for effect.
Tell me which one to look at.
No, they're just, and we'll have some little snippets of you we'll send you. So nice to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
I had your bestie on the last season with her husband, Georgie Crawford, and that was lovely. Yes.
The bestie and the bestie husband.
Yes.
Yeah, now, we're a foursome.
Now, briefly, you knew Georgie when you were young or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you did?
God, me and Georgie met when we were in college. So
okay.
It was the first year of college in DBS, Dublin Business School.
I thought
school.
You knew each other. Ah, getcha.
No.
So the real 20s time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know how we even began speaking to each other, but the second, we bumped into each other, started talking in the common room or whatever, the rest was history.
I can see it in the sense that like both of you are kind of quiet in some ways and then both of you are really extrovert in other ways and then both of you are sassy.
So funny.
And like it's a really lovely friendship.
It's like we are polar opposites.
Yeah.
Like polar opposites, but so similar
in
and
sync.
So close. Yeah, it was like our souls just entwined. The second
it's really nice
met.
To have that. And especially when you have kids.
Oh my God.
Because it's such a mad one.
Yeah, it is. And it's nice to connect. And like most of my friends have kids because we were a bit later in life to go on the kid journey.
Just stop.
Geriatric pregnancy.
What age are you?
I'm 37.
Are you 37?
I am.
Okay, that is not in any way slightly old, but I didn't know that you were 37.
I'm 37.
I always thought you were early 30s.
I might have a little bit of a baby face.
You're gorge, yeah.
But I am 37, yes.
I know, it's lovely the old geriatric, isn't it? It doesn't upset you at all.
God.
I know.
You know,
I was 33 having my first, actually.
That's not geriatric.
No, and I do remember them saying you're nearly geriatric, because I think 35 is the marker.
But the fact that they say it, it's like, oh my. Okay, so when I went in, I know we're going off here. This will happen a lot,
that's
Rebecca.
Okay. It's okay.
You have to bring me back in.
I'll bring you back in.
But just quickly on that, when I was in with my consultant, he was the master of Holler Street that year, and he said to me, he was like, because he was the master, he got to see all of the paperwork and stuff, and he was like, get rid of the word geriatric in your head over the age of 35, just forget about it, it's stupid,
it
shouldn't
stupid.
Be said that, because the numbers were something like, now don't quote me on this,
there was very high numbers of people,
there was over the age of 35, the numbers were like 40% in Ireland, and then over the age of 41 was like 20%.
So,
a 56-year-old female gave birth to her first child a couple of weeks before me.
I was just about to say, when I went in for Simone and I was feeling very like I'd taken ages to have Simone, I was really anxious because I was 37 and I was feeling very. And I'll never forget sitting there saying, I'm so worried and partially due to age and I've read too much up. And he goes, stop it. And I said, why? And he goes, I shouldn't say this because it's against any, you know, I can't give history of patients or confidentiality. But he's
did
like,
I
never
just
gonna
breach
see her
that?
Again.
No, I didn't say
he said, you're
her
never
name.
Gonna see her again.
He didn't tell me that. But
I'm not going to tell you my master's name. You don't know the patient's name, Bex, but he said, that lady there is 52. And I said, she's not. And he goes, she is. She's a huge career woman.
Yeah.
There was a marriage that ended. She's come about this in her own terms. He said she's 52. And I actually
had she her eggs like, frozen.
I didn't like he wasn't going to
go into
detail,
it.
But the fact that she was 52 in the waiting room behind me, and I was having this kind of like, oh, I'm nearly. He was like stopping.
Yeah,
a
like that's
petal.
Geriatric.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Also,
like I'd be okay if I was 52
but also
and
women,
someone called.
Women back in the day were having their babies from 28, say 250.
I know.
They were just milling out 10 babies.
I was 35. No a geriatric. Like when I think of the word geriatric, I think of like
it's not.
In a wheelchair or something.
Or zimmered into the labour. Where are you living? You're living in Dublin.
We are living in Dublin in Dunleary, just off of Monkstown. We lived in Monkstown and then we moved up to Dunleary.
Gorgeous.
We have to be by the sea.
Gorgeous.
For the mind.
So
You're an interesting one.
Am I?
You're married how long? Oh. What is your husband's name? Jack, isn't it?
Jack. Yeah. Jack Lowe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am married 5 years this September. Ooh, what's that? Is that paper?
I don't think it's anything.
Oh, no.
I think it's a pair of knickers, to be fair.
I could do with a new pair then.
There you go. There'll be some under. I was married 10 years last year. I was like,
did you get a pair of knickers?
Is this diamonds? I'm sure some were thrown vigorously at my head. Paper, maybe a divorce. I don't know what 10 years is, but we got drunk anyway. But five, I don't know.
Five. There must be something with five. Five is good. But I mean, we're in this the long, when people say, how long are you married? I have to think, because I'm like, we've been together for like...
Okay, take us back, right?
Okay.
So you are making, and actually we just spoke to a lady in our office who has bought up a lot of your prints.
Oh my God, she's amazing.
You are kind of doing all this great in pop culture, zeitgeisty stuff in Ireland where you make things that kind of go viral and everybody loves them, from the drafts to the boobs. Then you do stuff for charities, for people. You create this gorgeous art, Audrey Hamilton Artists. But when did that kind of career trajectory start? Is that related
to Hobie
and the bit? No, but when did all of this beautiful design work start? And what were you doing? Did you pivot?
I pivoted. Okay, go on. Pivoted. I won't go way too into this because I feel like I've done 50 million
DBS,
podcasts.
So what were you initially?
Within DBS journalism. I was studying journalism because I wanted something to fall back on. Yeah. I was in the world of acting, entertainment. I was in theatre in Ireland for 10 years. Dabbled in like commercials and stuff like that.
So interesting.
I was on the Slimline Avonmore milk bottle or carton for about 10 years.
Really?
Not for 10 years. No, but this is like, that's the kind of jobs that I was doing back then. Like, it was just very much trying to get into the industry of acting, and you had to do these, like, you know.
Did you want to do thespy acting work? Or did you want to do like soaps?
No. I wanted, theater. I loved theatre, yeah. But then there was like these little gigs to kind of, you know, pay for the bills, which were like the Avonmore and any kind of brands like that. So when that was all in my 20s. And then, so yeah, it went into study something to fall back on. So it was journalism and media studies. And the only thing I take from my days in college was finding my bestie.
Yeah, I was going to say. it wasn't the dream course. It wasn't.
Absolutely not. It was for Georgie, and I stayed the 3 years to be her partner in crime, for those that I'm joking.
It's like she needed someone.
Yeah, I stayed there for... No, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I got an honours, so well I done. Did well. Yeah. I enjoyed the thesis part of it. I wrote about Freud, so it was all very... But it wasn't my thing at all.
Were you in an all-girls school?
An all-girls school. I will not send Bo to an all-girls school.
Either.
Girls are mean. Horrendous at that age. Oh my God, they're so mean. If anyone's listening who are one of those girls, fuck you.
But
I'm joking.
It is that we're so, our self-esteem is so in the gutter that we're so mean to each other.
I look back now and I'm like, awful. I wish I was the person I am now, that I could have like literally turned around to them and been like,
But isn't how we're parented as well? We had no confidence.
I know, we had no confidence.
Like, your little one and my two girls. And
they're
going to
have
like,
such...
Have so
and they. And I was lucky where I did have a really open relationship with my mom growing up, so, and still do.
Good.
So it's like, we talked about absolutely everything. But this is where I was going on in terms of the Leaving Cert and the Junior Cert and all that pressure. My mom was the opposite. My sister was quite academic, and so was my brother. And then there's me. And there was no pressure put on me to get any certain points. I was just go and do your best.
Okay.
And that was what I did. And I got like, what did I get in the Leaving Cert? Like 3.25 or something.
So you got your points.
I got my points.
You did even. Never affected your life thereafter.
Absolutely not. I didn't do anything. Like when was the last time I did algebra? Like, when do you do algebra in your life?
Well, you do, I guess, if you're going to go into...
Teach me.
...tech or accountancy.
But why do I need to know algebra when I'm 16?
I don't. And I guess it's this bizarre... And I do think the GCSEs and A-levels...
They make more sense.
I know. It's just so a continuous assessment where you're not... Say if something awful happens. Like, I know there was a chap in my class whose dad passed away the week of our Leaving Cert. It's like... How do you then put yourself into one day of exams when you're going through
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, like, what if somebody's extremely intelligent, right? And can soak things up like a sponge, but then when they're sitting there, they forget everything. How is that moment of sitting there for an hour and a half going to determine your knowledge and your education in your mind?
It's sad, isn't it?
It's so sad because people can be super intelligent and but just freak out in that moment, and then everything's just gone.
Yeah, and they don't make it through.
And then
that
they don't
particular.
Make it through. Exactly.
But you did your DBS. But
did
then
my
art.
DBS.
Then you did your acting.
So
you
went. Yep.
You studied design where?
So studied. Never studied design.
Wow.
So never
talented.
Studied art. Never. And somebody. So many people ask me this, and it's one of the biggest things that I scream from the rooftops is that you don't need to study something like art. Mm. Obviously, in a profession like medicine mm. or accountancy or anything like that, of course you need to study, but you don't need to study
your
creativity,
passion, which is creative. Yeah.
And we're lucky we live in a world where what I did was I popped a picture of my posh pig. Ooh, pop. Popped a picture of my posh pig up on Instagram. Yeah. And that is literally how it began. It is
mad.
It is mad. But it is mad. I still
I was following you because I was following Georgie and new Georgie. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, her friend Audrey. And then you put that up and I remember it was just like,
it's just,
that was so exciting.
It was so exciting because it was never, ever. And I know
some
people say
path.
This honestly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know people say, I never thought I'd be doing what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah. If you had have told me 10 years ago that I wouldn't be acting, first of all, I'd be heartbroken. Because I was so involved and I was so, that was my life. It was my dream. It was all I wanted to do was to be on the theatre stage or in movies. Mm. Like we went to LA, we tried to give it a go over there. Absolute fail, was awful. We were not the right people for a city like Los Angeles. You have to be, I think Irish people find it really hard to, I don't know, I always use the reference of, being a person that hands out their business card.
Hang on a sec. So this is, okay, this is with your pre being married to Jack, your boyfriend. You
yes.
went to LA when? How long ago?
So
dating,
we,
you decided to go make it.
We went, yeah, we were dating. We went to Los Angeles in, oh God. We moved back in 2017 and we were there for 3 years. So there's my maths, 2014. 15,
and you went
16,
for 3 years.
We went for 3 years.
Go on.
So we had our O-1 visas, which is the alien of extraordinary ability.
Okay.
So we were two little Irish aliens yeah. going off to LA. It was great. It was fun, but it wasn't for us. It was, you know, I
why?
Mean.
Why? Just a grind?
Just the grind. You know, any time you met someone new, we're Irish. We want to chat. We want to go and have a drink and, you know, swap stories. But no, it's who do you know? What can you do for me? Here's my business card. Who's your agent? Can they get me a meeting? Can you get me a meeting? Yada, 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 yada. And we're just not good at that. I'm not good at that.
Okay.
I'm like the worst.
So you didn't
what's
go
called,
necessarily set hustler?
No, you know when you go to like a...
Self-promoter?
No, there's a word for it. Industry. Networking.
Okay, yeah,
I'm
networking.
The
yeah,
worst
yeah.
networker.
So, but you went over cold or you had an age or you had a... You
no,
went
we went
over,
cold.
So you went over just to see.
We just went over to see. We got our visas. It took 9 months. You have to write. You have to be... It's a very vain... world.
You have to be like, this is how amazing I am.
You,
and you
have
me.
To yeah. use yeah. they give you a list of like extraordinary names
yeah, yeah, yeah.
and like just you, writing on behalf of yourself
yeah, yeah, yeah.
about yourself in the third person.
Yeah.
Audrey is extremely talented in Shakespearean.
God, blah, blah, blah.
It's like word vomit.
Okay.
Because you have to get a lawyer and they're the ones that feed you all of this stuff to get the visa. So anyway, you spend $7,000 each on a visa and you go over and 3 years down the line, you have your manager and yada, yada. You've done like little jobs, commercials, which I had done, which pay really well over there. I was still getting royalties of a commercial I did when I moved home like 2 years later because anytime they played... You got paid.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
great.
Whereas you know it works different here. You're signed for a year, and then that's it. And
that's the end of that.
If they want to use the commercial again,
yeah.
they have to sign you on for another year. But they never really use it again. And yeah, cutting a really long story short, basically got a job in a Netflix show, and on set was asked to leave basically because. Production didn't know I was the actor that was cast was on a visa. So there's a whole story on that. Go listen to the Good Glow podcast with me if because it's the whole episode pretty much on what happened there, but I won't bore you with that. It's been told way too many times. But yeah.
So you did it make you even more connected as a couple? Was it an incredible experience? Was it very tricky? Did you come home feeling a bit like...
It connected us as a couple, but it disconnected me from the industry. Okay. 100%.
So you're like, puke, don't love this.
Bad taste in my mouth. Hate you all. How can you do that to young people coming over, spending their money, not telling us that half of the big production houses don't accept O-1 visas? Okay.
And then you come home with him, you've lived the life, and was there this like solidified, we want to be together forever vibe?
Oh yeah, because we had met when we were 17.
Take one.
Oh yeah, okay, so.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Where had you met at 17?
We met on Dublin bus night link at 2 o'clock in the morning.
What?
Yes. I was 17. This. Do you remember the nightclub Coyote?
Yes.
Yes.
On Lease.
On, yeah.
Harcourt's.
No, on the one, oh, come on. It's. Can we ask Barry?
No, I don't have Barry, no.
Barry, do you know where Coyote was?
Leeson Street.
Was it Leeson Street?
No.
Anyway,
near D1.
Google Coyote. Actually,
okay,
no,
anyway,
don't.
I remember Coyote very well.
It was beside the fireworks. Was it fireworks?
Fireworks, I don't know.
Oh my God, do you remember all these?
Red Box, in and around that area.
So anyway, 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember we'd seen each other in the nightclub. We played a little bit of like... flirtiness. He says he turned around to his friend at the time and he said, oh my God, that's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I will marry her, or something like stupid like that.
That's so gorgeous.
I was like, shut up, you didn't. He was like, I swear to God, I turned around to her like jokingly being like, that's the most beautiful girl I've ever seen. I would marry her,
that's
or something
gorgeous.
Like that. And then we chased each other around. We were only, he was 19, I was 17. Yeah, so nothing happened in the nightclub. We didn't shift or meet or anything like that until I met someone else in the nightclub, had a little kiss.
Yes.
A little, you know, on the dance floor. Kiss.
Yes.
Nothing else.
No, get that.
don't know what the, you know, I was referring to. Just a little dance.
No feeling.
A little dance and a little smooch.
And then got on the bus.
And then got on the night bus with this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I sound like a floozy. I got on the bus with this guy and he was going to drop me off.
Yeah.
So the stop was at Fox Rock Church.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sitting on the night link with this dude and we're just chatting away. And next thing I see Jack the lad who I had been flirting with previously in the nightclub. He gets on because he had obviously seen me get on the bus. And he sits right in front of myself and this guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I can literally see his face to this day. And he turns around and he smiles at me like with a real charming, like, you know, I knew what he was doing. And I just kind of smiled back and your man beside me is going like, what the fuck is going on here?
Who's this guy?
Yeah. And Jack goes, what stop are you getting off at? To the guy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he goes, still Oregon. And Jack goes, what stop are you getting off at? To me. And I said, Fox Rock. And then your man beside me goes to Jack, why, what stop are you getting off at? And Jack goes, Fox Rock.
He had game. He had just game.
That was
he
it.
Knew what he was.
Stop. He got off the stop with me. Now, I mean, I wouldn't be like promoting this.
I wouldn't be advocating for men to follow women,
but it worked out well.
It
worked out well.
It did.
He walked me to the corner of where my parents' house was at 3 o'clock in the morning. We sat outside. It's so cliche, but it's 100% true.
It's sweet.
Under the lamp, the street lamp.
Yeah, yeah.
And we chatted and we had our first kiss at 6 o'clock in the morning. We sat there for 3 hours. Do you remember when you used to sit outside?
And talk and not text and not be
text.
On Instagram. I know.
But like, do you remember like just back talking. Then you'd walk home at 4 o'clock in the morning and then you'd just...
And it was safe and there was no drama
was safe.
And you weren't worried about...
And the God, sun the came up, the birds were tweeting. I was like, oh my God, I better go inside if
and
my
those,
dad wakes up at 6 o'clock. Oh, the best. Like
the
butterflies.
Best
I can feel it now. And that's it. The rest is history. I was 17. He was 19.
We dated for a while.
We dated for 5 years.
5 years. That's very young. Okay, 5 years.
5 years.
Quite
and it was very young. Very intense.
What do you mean? Just lots of I love yous falling out, love yous falling
like
out.
Like he told me he loved me after a week. We were obsessed
what?
With each other.
Wow.
Obsessed.
What
like,
did your parents think of that?
Oh, my parents loved him.
Okay, but and you were in 6 year, 5th year?
Yeah. No, I was just finished my leaving cert.
Okay, you were like me, very young.
Yes.
Okay.
Young.
So just finished. New lease of life. Did they not want you to go discover the
yeah,
world?
Of course. Our parents were a bit like, guys, this is a bit intense, because we were so in love.
But and it was
like
5 years.
5 years.
So, you missed out
so we broke up
of...
like once or twice for like 2 weeks or something.
Sure.
We just couldn't be apart from
sure.
each other. But
what about
at
your
that
travels,
age,
your jail?
Exactly. So at that age, and it was actually, it was Jack that made the decision to break up. He broke my heart.
How long into it? Five years?
5 years. After 5 years.
That's a massive.
He needed to go to London.
You are very, like, as much
you're
as
so
I'm
young.
Like, Jack shouldn't have that or ordered shit. Like, 5 years at 17, like, you know that female brain isn't even slightly, men's definitely isn't, but at
no.
22, 23, we don't even have the proper
not until
wherewithal.
You're 22 or
no.
23, I think.
So
yeah.
You're literally in love with a man, probably your first experience.
My first love,
you know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes.
And that's all you know.
Oh my God.
And then he breaks your heart and you think
he
it's the end of the world.
He broke my heart. And Georgie has a really funny story.
What did he say?
He...
Did you kind of know it was coming?
I was besotted with Jack. Like
still
he,
at 5 years? I don't mean to be funny, but you were still very...
years, okay. He was the most, and still is. But back then I was just so...
I'd
never met
Jack.
Anyone like him. He's such a charming presence. He's such a cool person. I'd never met any guy in Dublin like him.
Aww.
And yeah, he just completely took me over. I just fell for him head over heels. And yeah, he broke my heart. He hates when I say that because he feels so... But he needed to do it. Because if we had stayed together,
wouldn't
we
anyway.
Wouldn't be married with
no,
a child.
No, I don't think so. It doesn't...
You need to go...
You need air, space,
yeah,
breathers.
So he was actually quite mature in doing
it. Because he also probably needed to release...
Yeah, and he didn't fall out of love with me. He absolutely adored me. But he needed to go for... He wanted to move to London for his career. And also to experience life. And he did the best thing for both of us. Because then I went and I experienced
life. How was that conversation?
Oh, it was awful. We drove down to, where was it, Dunleary. It was the conversation in the car. Do you remember? And I actually think that we played... God, he's going to kill me for saying this.
Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls.
No, do you know what? We were so dramatic.
Sarah McLachlan,
well.
Angel.
We thought we were in a movie, you know? And
Dawson's
you do.
Creek.
Yeah, we played a sad song.
To sit
we
there
played
and cry to you like you're being
you're
filmed.
You're beautiful. What's it? Yeah,
James
Blunt.
Blunt.
Who the fuck did we think we were? There was no camera on us.
Oh, so beautiful by
like,
James
yeah,
Blunt.
You're that's beautiful. And the other
so
one, like.
What did he say?
Is he was just, it? You know, I love you so much, yada yada. But
were you
I
just.
Need,
oh. Devastated.
So Georgie came over, my best friends came over, and we were sitting on the couch. And I remember Georgie always says, it's the funny story because I was bawling. And I was like, you don't understand. I was going to marry him. Yeah. He's the love of my life. Yeah. You don't understand. And Georgie was like, Audrey, like, I know it's hard right now, yeah. but just give it time. You'll meet someone else. And she always says now, she was like, I understand now why you said... Why you were so broken about him, because you were made for each other. Because then we came back after
okay, so
5 years. 5 years.
Okay.
5 years.
Okay, so 5 years dating, pretty hardcore. He breaks your heart. You stay in contact or not?
We boldly stay in contact.
What? Like message? Like what?
As in...
He's in London, you're in Dublin.
He's in London, I'm in Dublin. I shouldn't say boldly. That's not fair to say. But I was in two other relationships.
Okay, so you're seeing other people. He's
seeing
other people
but
you were still in touch.
But we made contact every Christmas and birthday.
Okay, so not, sorry, you were not daily texting.
No. But
okay,
we always hung on.
Why?
I don't know. Well, I know now. But we always hung on. There was never, we could never cut off.
I always find this really interesting about people that are madly in love and have a deep, they just can't cut it off. You try.
Nobody
I'm a
compared.
Like this. Like, try.
Yeah.
You can't.
And I had two serious relationships, one here in Ireland and one over.
Did they know that there was this guy hovering?
No, but he wasn't hovering because I was
but
very
if
much.
Hand, did you visit each other?
No. No,
huh?
No, no.
Wasn't a drink or Christmas?
No. If I was with someone, no. So I was with someone, let's say, for 3 years here and 2 years in LA.
And
right?
We're not going to talk about that person, but did you find in that relationship you kind of compared to Jack a little bit?
100%. Okay. He was my first everything. Okay. So he was the person that I compared everything to.
You're a relationship gal?
I am 100% a relationship gal when
okay,
it comes
to... Okay,
so
you didn't go off and shag around Dublin, go find yourself in Australia. You literally were dating people.
I only dated...
Okay, 5 years later, what happens?
So 5 years later, the relationship I was in Dublin ended and I was single and Jack was turning 30. And so this is nearly 10 years ago. He's 40 this August.
Yeah.
So this was This was around July, end of July. And I was, it was August, his birthday. So I was texting him the day before his birthday saying, have a great day tomorrow, like we always did. Hope the family's well, whatever, yada, yada. And then I get a message back going, can I call you? And I was like, sure. So he rang
Fuck
me.
The parenting content. Yeah, okay, yeah. Go on.
Oh, God, this is so bad. Episode one.
Episode two. Part A.
So he rang me the next day and we chatted for about an hour. And at the end of the conversation, he said, what's your situation? Are you with anyone? And I said, no, I'm not. And he was like, I'm coming home for my 30th birthday. My parents are throwing me a big party. Will you be my date? And I hadn't seen my now in-laws in 5 years. And I was a big part of the family back then for 5 years. So 5 years later, I get all dressed up, Rebecca, like I was getting married, like it was my wedding. I wore all white, tanned, like every bottle of fake tan was on me.
Everywhere
was tanned. Mm-hmm. I had more makeup than I think I had ever worn for 10 years. Oh, like hair just sprayed.
Sexy, yeah.
It was in then. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
I also bravely rang one of his best friends who lived down the road from me and I said, can I come with you guys?
Yes.
Can I come with the boys?
Okay.
So I arrived in all white with a lad's bus.
Nice.
And I stepped out of the bus into his house and his parents had no idea he had invited me. And it was pretty fun. And that was it. The rest is history.
What you mean? We snogged you.
Oh, we snogged. We had a great day.
You were both single?
We knew we were both single. We fell right back in sync in that evening.
When you kissed him again.
Oh.
No, seriously. Back your truck up now
I can smell him that night right now.
So when you kissed him again after all those years, and you've done the longing, you've done the heartbreak with your friends, you've cried into your pillow, he's done his stuff, you've dated, when you go back to reconnect, was it like magic?
Absolute butterflies. No, it was. And I cringe sometimes. Like, I'd give myself the ick if I was listening to this. Like, it's very cringeworthy, but it's so true. We just fell so in love with each other again. Like, I don't think we were ever out of love sense.
I hope you're together forever.
Oh, we are obsessed with each other. We're best friends. We are honestly best friends. And anyone we're around, I feel like people can see that in us, that we've known each other for a really, really long time.
There's a history there.
Yeah, and of course there's we argue. Downs, of course there's ups and downs. Yeah. But I trust that man with, what's the saying? I trust him so much.
So you end up getting together. When does your life turn into, forget about like renting in your careers, when does your life turn into we want to get married and have kids?
So when we were living in LA, we always spoke about marriage. It wasn't like I was so surprised when he proposed. I didn't think he was proposing the day he did, but I wasn't surprised. Yeah, yeah. We spoke about it. And kids was always...
And how soon after getting... Because your wedding was stunning. Follow Audrey Hamilton on Instagram. Her wedding was absolutely... How soon after did you get pregnant?
2 years. Oh, pregnant. No. So we got married 5 years ago and I got pregnant when I was... she's 1.5
now. So two and a half years ago. Okay.
So a little bit two and a half years after we got married.
And you wanted to have the baba?
We wanted to have the... Yeah. We really wanted a baby. Now, we weren't trying for two and a half years. Because one of the biggest things for me is that I wanted my career.
Okay.
And I knew that Jack wanted his career to be taking off as well. Like he worked freelance. He was creative producer. So worked freelance here in Ireland in huge agencies. And that was great. And then COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And the age old story with so many people that work for themselves. And we decided to go into business together, which was great. So we were building our businesses. And then... We were trying for about 6 months to maybe a year on and off. And yeah, and I'll never forget. I came into the studio and I'd always bring Jack like something from the shop, right? And I had the pregnancy test with me. And full of piss, all the urine. And I knocked on the door and
shaking it.
Yeah, I was like, I've got a surprise for you. And he was like, he thought I was going to bring him like a chocolate bar or something because I'd always bring something from the shop. And I put the test on the table in front of him and he goes, oh, fuck. He thought it was COVID. It was a COVID test.
They look like fucking COVID tests.
And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, oh, that's so annoying. And I was like, what?
You prick.
What? And he was like, what? And he goes, oh! And then we had that moment, which was beautiful. So, yeah.
Did you know what you were having?
Yes. I don't know how people do it.
Yes.
I needed to know what I'm talking to.
Okay, so you have a beautiful daughter.
So we were over the moon. Not that, well, of course, well, yeah, we wanted a girl, but I'm not, like, if we had have had a boy, we would have been delighted. But when you, when we opened the letter and it said female, we were ecstatic.
So you have your angel daughter.
We have our angel baby.
What's her name?
Beau.
Beautiful name.
She's a little monkey.
You have her, you go through all of that process. We are now watching you with an 18-month-old divine goddess, you know, working through your career, putting out your wonderful content, right?
Divine goddess.
I love your postnatal perspective.
Ooh, okay.
And your postnatal self and what you're giving to women in Ireland.
Ooh.
As
what do you love?
Know, I'm an ambassador, influencer, artist, like whatever the hell you are. Mm. Like, I just think what you are doing for women, encouraging them to just feel gorge, be sexy still.
With my sexy
pants.
Encompass
yourself. Don't change what you wear. Don't change yourself just because you're suddenly, I'm a mom.
No.
Let's all suddenly put our button up. So you're very much yourself with Beau, right?
Oh,
and
my God.
And if you want
yeah.
to have, who knows whether you want to go
yeah.
on.
Yeah, it would be a bonus, but we're not putting any pressure. Yeah.
So are you self, like, is there kind of a part of like, and I'm not saying you strategize, but were you very much like, ain't changing my life just because I've had a baby? Like, tell me about it.
100%.
How have you found coming out of pregnancy, labor, postpartum? How have you found the whole journey?
Okay, loaded question.
Yeah.
Okay, I like it. So first of all, I have an incredible surrounding of friends and family around me. Beau is one of 16 cousins.
Wow.
She's 2 on my side and nearly 13. One is about to pop any day now. She could have even had the baby right now. I don't know.
Wow.
So number 13 is about to arrive on the low side and there's 2. So babies have been in our brains and around us for many, many years. So I had a great tribe to ask all the questions while pregnant and after being pregnant, after having the baby. I actually had a lovely experience with the labour.
Mm.
And I bumped into Hannah Saunders, the beautiful Hannah, the other day.
Yeah,
and
she's
the best. And we had a lovely conversation about, I said, do you sometimes feel bad saying that it's not that it's easy, but that it was a nice experience? Because I have felt a bit before, like, do you lie? And then I'm like, no.
Because some are lovely, some are shite,
exactly.
Some are traumatic,
exactly.
Some are awful. Some are, like, my 2 were painful as fuck, and I couldn't get pain relief. But, like, weren't, do you know, nothing dramatic happened. I'm very fortunate to have emergency C-sections coming out my wazoo. Gia came within 7 hours. Like,
like,
do you know what I mean? By the book, right?
Yes, by the book.
But
it's not
piss
easy.
And moan.
Yes, of course.
But it's not easy, but you get this at
no,
the end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think I struggled a little bit with, because people, you know, would be like, oh, God, and does she sleep? And I'd be like, yeah,
that's okay.
She does. And like, and is she feeding okay? And I'm like, yeah
it's going really well.
It's going great. Now, of course, my hormones were all over the place. I cried if Jack didn't bring me home a bag of Maltesers when I asked him.
2.5.
Yeah. It's like, where are my Maltesers? Like, why? Yeah, you brought home your bottle of wine, but where's my? Yeah.
My husband's still talking. He's like, you were so angry.
But no, my hormones, and obviously, I would be quite an anxious person, which I don't speak about too much. So that was like, you
the
know,
lack of control.
Oh my God, I was all over the place. Anxiety was all over the place.
Wow, okay.
And that was really hard. But yeah, the good things I don't think people speak too much of, because I think there's a guilt there. And I don't think
there
should
be. Guilt. I just think we always focus on the shit things. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think it's necessarily guilt or mom shaming. I do think there's a need to go, how traumatic was your labor?
Yeah.
How many years did you try for a baby? Because that is something that, that is in the zeitgeist or that's in.
Yeah.
But I think, to come in and go, and I've had other people on who've had awful experiences. I've also had people go, yeah, it was grand, great labor. Great. Yeah. But I've also had people go, but what was really hard is when they turned 4, this happened, or my body never went back. So we all have different experiences.
Or you are a person that has always struggled with an anxiety situation. So, you know, having that all the time anyway, That's something to deal with. Yeah. So I, of course, my labor was extremely painful. I mean, when I say that it was, it went well, is that, you know, it was 5 hours. Yeah, so it wasn't it was the great. 24 hours yeah. like some people. But yeah, no, it was, it went extremely well. And I mean, midwives are absolute angels.
I know, they're
Earth.
Amazing.
Like,
are you changed? When I talk about your postpartum self, your journey, your honesty, your crack, your outfits, your... Are you, Audrey Hamilton, completely different? Because I think I completely changed. And people say, oh, it's all bullshit. I feel like a different person.
I do feel like Beau has changed me. I feel like, not to bring it back, but the anxiety that I've dealt with for 15 plus years, I actually feel she has helped
okay.
with. Because I think when you are focused on yourself so much, and especially if you have anxiety, it heightens. Mm. But when somebody comes into the world,
it breaks that.
It breaks it because you're not.
She is the most important
yeah,
person.
You are not the person yeah.
okay.
to be anxious about okay. all the time. Not that I'm now projecting the anxiety onto her. I'm not. Mm. I never want her to be that anxious person.
So she centered you.
So she has almost balanced me a bit because I'm so aware that I don't want to show anxiety to her, that I'm stopping myself
That's amazing.
From being anxious around yeah. her. I'm around her every day, so it's lessening the anxiety, wow. I guess.
And you're happy. Maybe you're happy.
Oh,
as well.
She's my best friend. I just love that girl to absolute pieces. She has brought us a sense of joy that we never even knew existed.
What an incredible statement. I think we do say a lot as women. Mm-hmm. And like someone gave out to me about this recently, actually, and I was kind of like, yeah, I got all defensive. It's so hard. It's so hard. It's exhausting. It's this. It's true. But we love them, but it's so hard. And I said, no, but I think we say that to also illustrate that particularly if you're working or particularly if you're maybe bringing up kids on your own, it is really hard for women. And she's like, but it's also the most incredible thing you'll do. And only yesterday did I reflect and I put up a photo and usually I'd go, I love my mother. Happy Mother's Day. And these are the joy of my life. And I didn't. I literally wrote, there is zero protection, perfection living in this house. Because I was like, actually, let's just break it down. Like, there's zero. Nothing is perfect right now in my family life. My two kids, nothing. But they are literally the best thing I've ever done. So even though it's a shit show, some days I'm like, like, I just want to be backpacking on my own. And
they
are the best thing that ever happened to me and probably the best thing I'll ever do, right?
Yeah.
So maybe we do a lot of it's hard and maybe we've gotten into a bit of a negative spin on parenting because people talk a lot more, women are much more open. And I don't think there should be a toxic positivity either about like it's just joy 24/7.
No,
because we need a balance.
It's not joy 24/7. Nothing is joy 24/7, like unless you're taking a supplement that 24/7. There is no such thing as perfect in my eyes, and there's also no such thing as the right way to do it. I am a big believer in I don't read the book. I don't give me a book.
Just get on
about
with it.
Parenting.
Yeah.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
Don't give me a book about sleeping. I don't want it. I'm going with the flow of the connection I have with my baby and we're doing our thing.
You're riding it out.
We're doing our thing and it works for us. And yeah, absolutely. If books help other people, buy the books. But I just feel like a mum's intuition, you just become.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
It's so weird.
I know. When they
you're
first
terrified.
Give you the baby, you're like, I'm going to break this thing.
Yeah.
You can take it back now.
Yeah.
Then you get home and you start getting all pissy with everyone. Don't touch your like.
Don't. Yeah.
Because you're suddenly.
And like the head,
I know.
And you just know
you
and
know,
like you're so confident, and you're watching the midwives throw them around like a rag doll, and that's just how it is, and you're freaking out, and then you're like, this baby is me. Like this baby is part of me. Like I know exactly what to do because I know what to do with myself. Like this. Person is.
And she's going to be so proud of you, Audrey. You're such a colourful, sassy, smart. You're very empowering.
Oh,
would you say
God.
That's a word?
About myself?
Yes.
I would never
would
use
you not
that
say
word.
Empowering? I find you very empowering.
Oh,
I find there's
you.
A lot of precious petals on Instagram who look great and I love their fashion. I want to follow them, but it's all a bit precious petal. Or I find people that aren't that maybe relatable or likable and it's all a bit extreme. Or I find people that it's all just really sad and negative. You're just quite like. The outfits after you had her.
Yeah, but now hold on a second, Rebecca.
The boobs,
how many outfits? The boobs.
The sexiness.
The boobs are still. The boobs are.
But you were just like, here's me, and you were hot, and it was just like nice and refreshing to
because
see.
Because why
this
can't
gal
you
not
feel
maternity gown?
Yeah.
Or
now,
you know, gymming at 10 weeks postpartum.
Exactly. So this is the other thing. I have taken my time it took me and Jack a good few months before we went on a little dinner date together. But I love fashion. I love getting dressed up. I love putting makeup on. But I love nothing more than getting into a tracksuit and taking my makeup off.
Yeah.
So the best of both worlds. And I show that as well, because I'm like, I am also sick of seeing the perfect life on Instagram. And I'm also not the person that's going to be like, here's my stretch marks.
Oh, I know.
Because it's not my Instagram.
I know. It's
okay,
not
we
my
all
Instagram
know
either.
We have the stretch marks.
We all
marks.
Know what our butts look like.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't need to. We don't. Do you know, here's I'm not. I don't need to show you mine. Okay. We know the folds are there. Yeah. We know that we've had a baby. So I'm all about getting dressed up and putting a picture on Instagram of a lovely outfit. But at the same time, I'm not saying this is how I look every 5 minutes every day. It's not. That's an effort that's been put into that. And I love the effort because it gives me an hour and a half to myself to pick out a nice outfit.
But it's empowering to women who are sitting there going, I've lost my fashion way. I've lost my sensibilities. I don't feel stylish. Color is, I'm allergic to color at the moment because I'm feeling a little bit mumsy. Like there was a bit of a like bam about you after you had.
Because I
lost myself after Gia.
Did you?
Not Simone. Gia, and I was a lot younger actually, which is funny. You think I wouldn't have been, but I was just like, I don't know what the fuck to wear anymore. Do I start wearing this shit? I know. I'm going to wear a Ralph Lauren V-neck with a pair. Like, I didn't know who I was.
You almost dressed like a mom.
Yeah, like, you there's a nice yummy mummy. And then I went back to, thank God, my colour and my hippy dippy stuff. And then I went back to when I had to be worky.
But
and
it took you time Simone, to find yourself
just
again.
Went, this is who the fuck I am. And if I have to wear this or, and then I got back into the gym. But like, I think we do lose our way. And you just didn't seem to lose your way.
I didn't lose my way in terms of fashion because I loved dressing the bump. So maybe because I loved dressing the bump.
You just went with it after.
It didn't. And I didn't buy maternity clothes. So everything I wore with the bump, I just stretched the hell out of.
Nice.
Because I was like, I want to wear this skinny tight dress with the big bum and the big bump and the boobs and everything. And I was slipping out of everywhere and every angle.
It.
But I felt lovely.
It was very hot.
And also like,
we don't see it enough.
We don't see bumps. I think bumps are dressed.
We don't make the whole process very attractive. It's either covering it up and looking really neat and perfect, or it's like, I don't know, the woman's body having been pregnant.
My God, it's
you're
so
the most
sexy.
In Ireland, you're just so, and you're probably the only person I know who just went there.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I get the bump out every day. Like, I remember
inspired me. I was like, damn.
Oh,
it.
My God. Stop.
Sorry. When I was pregnant with Simone, was it during COVID? Yeah, I think it was. But then when we did go on a holiday, I was like, bikini on. I'm not going to cover this up with some really hot and heavy swimsuits.
No.
Get my bits out. Like, I do remember being a bit more like, this is who I am. And even now, for my girls, like, be sexy if you want to be sexy.
Actually felt more comfortable in a swimsuit while pregnant. Isn't that funny? Because I felt like when you're pregnant and you have the big bump, nobody's looking at you looking for a piece of flab.
Yeah.
Oh, or you don't think anyone's looking
because
at you.
Because there's a bump.
Because there's a bump.
It's nice.
So it's like, it's
hard.
There, it's all filled out.
I know.
It's the image that you expect to see
it's
because
so
it's
funny,
your hips and
it?
Your bum and your.
So funny.
And here it is in
You're
all
right.
its glory.
You're
and
right.
I can wear a beautiful pink bathing suit and feel sexy and look sexy. But then when the baby comes out and you're getting back into that sexy, you're like, oh, there's a jiggle and a. But I was like, fuck it, when I went on holidays. I was like, so many people speak on Instagram about this. It's, you know, nobody cares.
Nobody gives a shit about anyone
nobody
else's body.
Cares.
Honestly, we're so self-contained in our
It's actually
like,
annoying now that you've, I spent so, when I think
it's
of
really
the
sad.
Amount.
We've wasted our lives. We've wasted
like
our 20s.
The insecurity that you felt on a beach when nobody is looking at you.
No.
Nobody.
Not even boys really give a shit.
Like my husband couldn't give a shit
they
what
get
I
up
wore
on
the beach.
They'd get up
they don't
on
care.
A
like honestly, they don't care. Like he, like honestly, he's like you wouldn't, if I asked him what bikini I was wearing yesterday on holiday, he'd be like, I don't know. But you looked lovely. Like I don't know
She's
what you were wearing.
Energy.
Yeah, you just looked great, but I don't know. We as girls know the colour of
but
the bikini.
That's been done to us by the cosmos. And
oh my God.
What? Oh God, I could talk to you for hours.
Oh my God, I'm having a great
time. What are your hopes and dreams for her? Like, what are your, I'm going to get into fears now in a sec, but what do you care most about for her in the future?
I don't want her to ever feel pressured into doing anything she doesn't want to do. I would love.
Why did you?
I feel like society pressured a certain career in women. I don't think that there was enough of the right of focusing on the right brain in my generation growing up. It was all very, as we said, we touched on it before, academic. Mm-hmm. I would love, if Bo does turn out to be a creative, I'd love for there to be a school system where it celebrates that and it's not just an extracurricular activity. I've made a job out of it, so why is it not a job that can be in
attainable?
The career class he used to do? CA, what was it? No, the career in school
guidance.
Yeah, career guidance. Like, why isn't artist on that? Do you know what I mean? Now Bo could take from my sister and become a nutritionist, or my brother and be in science, or you know. But I just want, I don't want, I want her to have the platform to be able to choose whatever the heck it is that she wants
and
to
what
do.
Are your fears for her?
Oh God, that is a big question. What are my fears for Bo? I think the one of the worst things of my childhood was bullying. So my fears would be that she would fall into that, the insecurity and not having the confidence to allow someone bully her, because the age group, I mean, the worst has happened to children when they're being bullied. And I think bullying isn't spoken about enough. And I think it's one of the most horrendous things you could do to another human being. Like, I was strong enough to, you know, be confident. And I hope she has the relationship with me where it's an open book and she can talk to me about anything. Because that's what I had with my mom. But yeah, that age group, it's a scary age, and we live in a very different world now where everything's online. So that worries me. I don't show her face online because it just freaks me out that there's that 1% that are strange. Do you know what I mean? It freaks me out. And like, I'm a true crime fanatic, right? So I love a good true crime. But
as Rebecca deletes every single image.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, okay.
No, stop. No. I'm not saying to any, I'm just, for me, I freak out because I zone in on that 1% that are weirdos. And I don't want my baby's face to be seen by a weirdo. So I'm just, that's my head. And when I focus on something, I'm like,
no, I get it. If she's listening to this in 30 years, what's your message to her?
Love you so much. You're my best friend. Sorry, your mom is so cringy.
So cute.
Sorry, I'm so cringy, but isn't you're the best cute? In the world. It is. No, she is just the light of our lives. I'm not going to get emotional, but I probably will. She's the best thing that's ever happened to us. Honestly, I waited my whole life for Bo. And she's
ain't
enough.
That the truth?
But she's enough. Like, I get asked, you know, when you have one baby, the next question is, are you going to have another one, or are you going to try again? And I said to Jack, we had a conversation the other day, and I was like, if we're lucky enough to have another child, that's absolutely amazing. And it's such a bonus. But I don't ever want to feel like what we have now isn't enough, because it is. It's enough. She is everything.
Audrey.
And another would be a bonus.
It is a bonus. And it's
not going to be a, oh no, we failed, we didn't have another, we
no,
can't
it's
have. It's a bonus. She is, she's filled my jar. She's filled my cup to the brim, and it'll just overfill and be amazing and extra bonuses if we have another one. But she's everything.
From the Nightlink to the Piggy Picture to LA to Bo. Audrey Hamilton, I'd say you'll be back in the next season to talk about more of your exciting adventure. Like, I obviously want to hear more about your career, but in this moment in time, I want to talk about your relationship and your baby and everything that's to come. I wish you the best. You're really in the trenches, so to speak, with an 18-month-old, but there's so much good left to come. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was so nice. I hope you enjoyed this episode of A Little Birdie Told Me. And if you did, it would mean a lot to me if you could like, subscribe, and share this episode.